Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
So I think there's two thoughts. One is I think it's easy to think that the Bible has the problem, but in reality, I think the problem is more how we have been, when we take the Bible and we try to turn it into a book it was never intended to be. There are certain expectations I think we've learned to place on the Bible that look really good on the surface that actually look as though, you know, I'm taking the Bible seriously. But in reality, they're doing nothing more than covering up their fears of losing control and losing certainty and ultimately covering up the fact that perhaps we really don't trust God the way we like to think we do, you know? Hey, what is up, friends? This is Scott Hodge, lead pastor of the Orchard Community. Hey, welcome to the new Orchard Conversations podcast. I'm so glad that you've joined us. In fact, you've joined us at a really great time because, well, today we are beginning a new conversation series. That's right, a conversation series about the best-selling yet often untouched and at times confusing, complex, contradicting, dust-covered book that very few read and most don't understand. Of course, I'm talking about the Bible. Now, I don't know what goes through your mind when you hear that we're going to do a conversational series on the Bible. Perhaps for some of you, when you hear that, it sounds kind of boring. Because, well, that's maybe how you see the Bible, which is understandable. Or perhaps it's that the Bible just feels overwhelming or confusing. Totally fair. For others of you, a series like this, well, maybe it sounds exciting because you love the Bible. And my guess is there are probably, I don't know, there is someone out there who you've reached a point where you're pretty much ready to give up on the Bible. Or maybe you already have. So here's the thing, no matter where you're at, no matter what you feel, no matter what your thoughts are about the Bible, we're just glad you're with us, that you've joined us for what I hope is going to be a really fun, informative, perhaps at times challenging, hopefully intriguing conversation. Now, before we dive into today's conversation, let me give you a few quick facts about the Bible. The Bible contains 66 books, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, containing a total of 1,189 chapters. The Bible was written by about 40 men over a period of about 1,600 years, dating all the way back from 1500 BC to about 100 years AD after Christ. The Bible has been translated in part or in whole into over 1,200 languages and dialects. And get this, in the English language alone, it's been reported that there have been over 450 versions made of the Bible, 450 translations or versions made of the Bible. And you can find groups of people who all think that their version of the Bible is the best and most accurate. So anyway, with all that said, again, thanks for joining us, and let's dive into some conversation about the Bible. All right, Benjamin J. Thomas Anna Hammond, what's up, guys? We're going to talk today about a well-known book. It's been around in one form or another for, maybe 2,500 years or so. We're going to talk about the B-I-B-L-E.
That's the book, yes, for me.
The Bible. The Bible. God's Word. The good book.
The good book.
There's all kinds of names of that we use for the Bible, right? And I don't know about you guys. So the Bible's been a part of my life since I was like, in fact, check this out. I found my first Bible today.
That's the Children's Living Bible. It's the same Bible that I had. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. Like the cover. It's identical.
Wait a minute. Catholics actually own Bibles?
Catholics had Bibles too. And we had the same ones too. And the green binding, the whole thing, everything. The pictures. Look, Jesus is so friendly.
Look at the little white children.
I mean, I love how Jesus, you know, he was, I think, in Norway where that was.
Maybe Switzerland, the Alps, you know.
He's wearing one of those kind of parka things that were really popular in the 90s.
You got Moses and the burning bush.
I mean, these images are like totally embedded in my psyche, and you know, since I was a child. I mean, I had the children's Bible, you know, and I think they left Revelation out of this one. I can't. No, I'm joking.
too scary.
But Sunday school, youth group. I was on this thing. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Junior Bible Quiz. Where it was this thing where you sit at a table and there, it was in, all in a suitcase, and it opens up and there's little buzzers, and whoever can answer Bible questions super fast wins. And this was like, you had statewide championships. It was like a denominational thing.
Holy
and,
cow.
And I was horrible at it. The only reason I was on the team was because my dad was the pastor.
The PK getting privilege.
Oh my God. And then of course I went to a Christian school, and then I went to seminary. So I've been around the Bible a long time. What about you guys? What's your background with the Bible?
Well, like you said, I grew up Catholic, and we had a little bit different relationship with the Bible. We had it around a lot, but it was very like
dusty.
Yeah, it was dusty. It was very that's so fun. it felt like this. I had the reverence for the Bible. I think I knew that it was almost like magical thinking a little bit about the Bible. Almost like almost a little bit unapproachable, where it felt like you had to be someone special to be able to really read it and interpret it, like a priest or something. And that was probably, most of my childhood was kind of like that. So there was like intrigue in it too. So like, there was like a little bit of mystery. Later on, I think it actually served me well, that perspective. And then as I aged, I got into like late high school, and I started hanging out with a bunch of evangelicals, and I learned from them quickly that the Bible is like a guidebook for life. It's like a road book, like a manual for life.
Right.
And so went down, you know, that path, and that was kind of my upbringing with the Bible. How about you, Anna?
I grew up very familiar with it too. I'm also a pastor's kid, so it was like always around. I have this vivid memory of when I was probably about 10, my parents attended a African-American Old Missionary Baptist Church on the south side of Chicago. And the preacher would go on for like 3 hours. And so I would be bored and have nothing to do.
3 hours? So hold on.
Yeah. And the little old ladies in the church would get up like halfway through, like right about the time he was getting out the handkerchief to mop his brow. And they would all start cooking fried chicken in the back.
So you're like, praise the Lord.
You know, so I'm like 9 years old.
Can we do
sitting
that now?
Here.
Now we're having church.
Smelling fried chicken.
Get that one. Give me some fried chicken.
Anyway, okay. Bored out of my mind. Yeah. And I would read the Bible. And one day I discovered my little 9-year-old self, Song of Solomon, in there. And my mother denies this, but I have a very vivid memory of her looking over at me and just flipping my Bible closed in the middle of church.
Not that book, Anna. Not till you're older. You all got to be 18 to read
like
this one.
The doves of Mount Horeb.
Yeah, I think the word breasts is in there. Oh my God.
There's some explicit stuff in that book.
There is some explicit stuff in there. I don't know why I was running around with that book as a little 9-year-old. Like, I should have still had the cartoon version, but...
You know what? I want to read, see if it's in the children's Bible.
Yeah, what do the cartoons of that one look like?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to put some photos on the screen. You might want to cover your kids' eyes.
But then growing up, I think, you know, Ben, you learned to look at it as a guidebook. And I think as a kid, I had horrible anxiety, and as a teenager, horrible anxiety. And I feel like over time, I almost treated it like a spell book of if I say these words, you know, if I recite this psalm, or if I pray in the way, you know, Jesus taught us to pray this way, it will magically make my problems go away. Like that there was some kind of, again, that magical thinking, that sense of like, there's some kind of secret in here that will fix my life.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that didn't pan out very well.
I totally get it. I feel like I could touch all of those points in my maybe, you know, history with the Bible. And, you know, I've had a mixed relationship with the Bible. You know, it sounds like we all have, probably to some degree. I think over the years I watched my parents, my grandparents, my great grandmother, who was like, the most beautiful spiritual woman, and she would always say, "Praise the Lord, anyhow. Well, you know, the world's coming to an end. I don't have any more money. My body hurts, but praise the Lord, anyhow." Anyway, but I watched my family turn to the scriptures over the years to find guidance and direction and comfort and peace in times of difficulty. And you know, but on the other hand, I think too, like if we're really honest about it, it's like on one hand, I think we all do know that the scriptures have been a source of strength, encouragement for so many. But at the same time, the Bible can be a really difficult book as well, or challenging book as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of very sincere people who love God, have chosen to follow in the way of Christ, but for whatever reasons have, I don't know, come to see the Bible less as a source of comfort and peace and more as a source of frustration, you know, and difficulty. And, you know, I don't know. I think, and, you know, we've all learned in some way how to approach the Bible, right? Someone showed us how to do it, or they didn't, we weren't taught, and we just kind of dove into it. And what an overwhelming, you know, library of books this thing is, if you just have no guidance into it, right? What are some of the difficulties that you maybe either yourselves personally have experienced with the scriptures, or that you know, you know, as a pastor, I hear all kinds of problems that people have with the Bible, right? What are some of the ones that stick out to you guys that make the Bible a challenging book?
I think the biggest one for me is the way that the Bible treats women. Like through the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's violence against women. Some of it is sanctioned by people who love God. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got King David, who's commended for being this righteous person, and he commits a horrible assault on a woman. And then in the New Testament, you've got Paul writing about, you know, women should be silent in church. Like, oops. having to come around.
Hold on a minute.
But yeah, like that makes me angry. It's been used, it's in the Bible, and then it's been used for thousands of years to minimize and subjugate and oppress women, which obviously not cool. Not cool.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. What about you, Ben?
I think similarly, where I think I as I moved past this idea of it just being a simple guidebook, things got a little bit more complex when I started kind of noticing those inconsistencies, or the things that maybe I would say didn't line up with my understanding, my gut understanding of who God was and how God's spirit is in the world, which is love. Like, I kind of knew that as a kid. I grew up understanding like God is love, and then seeing these things, but more even than seeing like them played out in these scenes and these really distant past kind of things where people maybe had some real archaic thinking, it more became like an issue of watching other people use it to advance their thing. And it felt like this energy of us versus them thinking. And that all seemed just so incongruent with what I knew and understand God to be. And still to this day, that is like a primary thing of wading into that and then kind of wading back into the Bible, but having a really different understanding of it. I think, though, kind of back to what I was talking about, my sort of Catholic upbringing, I think there was something actually was really healthy about it. I never had like a full-on fundamentalist view of the Bible being like literal in every single word kind of thing. So it really helped me then to re-acclimate myself to an understanding, a different, a more diverse literary understanding of this sacred text. And then now to be able to come at it from a place of what I think feels more like health. And it feels just the texture of how I get to approach the Bible today feels so different than it did 10, 15 years ago, especially.
You know, both of what you guys just said is so true. And I think, you know, if you think about even, and one of the things I really struggled with, you know, as I got older was like, if you think about all the different kinds of stories there are in the Bible about God, right? Like there's some pictures we have of God being very kind, very loving, and others, like you said, Anna, very moody, very angry, and a lot are just hard to know what to do with, right? I mean, think about ethnic cleansing. Like we all would say ethnic cleansing is evil, right? Mm-hmm. If someone says, God told me to kill this person or this group of people, we'd say, well, you're crazy, and we're gonna call the police, right? And yet there are passages in the Bible in which God orders his people to kill innocent women and children, right? I mean, the Joshua, the Battle of Jericho, right? I mean, we sing songs about this in Sunday school. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, 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 right? And guess what? It is a story about the slaughter of innocent people. What do you do with that, right? Mm. And then, of course, we find people who, you know, I know someone just not long ago, it's like the Bible just contradicts itself all over the place and kind of does. You know, I mean, take, for example, like the question, how should we treat our enemies? Matthew, we should love them. In Psalm, it says we should joyfully dash their infants against a rock. Psalm 139, we should hate them. Deuteronomy, we should smite and destroy them and show them no mercy. And if we want to call fire down on them, we could reference 1 Kings chapter 18. But before we do that, we should also reference Luke chapter 9, which condemns that kind of thinking. So, like, it really, yeah. Right? There are some problematic. I guess the best way to say it is you know, there's some problems here. And you know, I think we need to talk about that, right? And so, you know, I guess like the question is like, what do we do with what seems to be so many problems with the Bible? And I don't have it all figured out. That's for sure. I'm not a theologian, but I will tell you that I am a pastor, and I have what a lot of theologians don't have, and that is daily interactions and conversations with real people who are asking really tough questions and having some very real struggles about how they approach the Bible. I mean, I had and we all hear this all the time, a family who had a child who was struggling with gender issues and, you know, they had family and friends who, and a pastor who is like, takes one verse or two verses and says, this is why that's wrong. And so here they are stuck in this moment where it's like their hearts are telling them one thing.
Yeah.
But the Bible seems to say, you know, something very different, right? And so it's tough, you know? I mean, what I think happens to a lot of people is they just give up on the Bible, or they just avoid the embarrassing parts of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I totally get.
Once we start to see the damage that it's done, I think our gut reaction, it's a very natural part of our reaction, would be to avoid those parts. But if you're going to still continue to engage with it, I think that this is just a dialogue. This is why I love that we're having this conversation these next several weeks, because I think it's helping us to become more whole and human. Walter Brueggemann, he writes this. I'm going to read this quote from him. He says, "The Bible is not a simplistic book of answers, but a complex collection of stories and wisdom that invites us to engage, wrestle, and struggle with its content. It calls us to think deeply, to question, and to grow in our understanding of God and what it means to be human."
It's beautiful. And
I feel like there are more healing. I think this is the thing that we're coming to, is like, there are more healing ways to understand and read the Bible.
Yes, I think so. You know, one of the best things that I could have ever done, I think, in my life is when I... allowing myself to wrestle with the Bible. I think as a pastor that's not an easy thing to do. You know, you have to get really creative, or there's just times where you have to just avoid certain parts of it. You're like, I don't know where I sit with that or whatever. But I gotta say, like, in so many ways, it kind of forced me to work through this stuff, to sit in the tension and to learn how to trust the Spirit, right? To lead me on this journey. A journey that honestly has brought me to a place where I am able to engage the scriptures in a more powerful way, in a more, I think, transformative way than I've ever experienced before, you know? I think one of the things that we want to sort of chew on, I'd love to throw it for us to chew on for a minute, is like, I think the question I have is there really a problem with the Bible? Or is the problem more, does the problem have more to do with how we approach the Bible, or how we have been taught to engage with the scriptures. Like, maybe that's really the problem. At the end of the day, maybe the Bible's not a problem. Hmm. Any thoughts on that, you guys?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question and how in Galatians, I think it's the, you know, the armor of God and the sword is the word of God, right?
Yeah.
And then we think of like, oh, the Bible is a weapon. I'm going to weaponize it. Well, it's all how you like wield it, right? Like, if you want to do violence with the Bible, you'll be able to do violence. You Rachel Hall Evans, I'm kind of paraphrasing her. I'll just read her quote. She says, if you want to do violence in this world, you will always find the weapons. If you want to heal, you will always find the balm. With scripture, we've been entrusted with some of the most powerful stories ever told. How we harness that power, whether for good or evil, oppression or liberation, changes everything. And I love that because we have been entrusted with a very powerful set of stories and poems and histories and all the things. And we need to search our, we can find the truth in scripture, but we can also look at ourselves and find that truth. Like, am I trying to love people when I pull this verse out and having dialogue and asking that in community, or am I just trying to prove that I'm right? Like, anytime I think to myself, well, the Bible clearly says, or anytime someone says to me, well, the Bible clearly says, it's like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't clearly say hardly anything at all.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, it seems as if that it's like there's this, the simplistic way is way more akin to be able to be used as a weapon for violence. And once you dive into and can sit with the complexity of it and what Scott's saying, even embracing and acknowledging the parts that make us really uncomfortable, that's actually where the beauty can come through.
Yeah. Anybody can cherry pick the Bible, right?
Totally. I mean,
and help
so
to make whatever point best serves their agenda, right? Like, if you really wanted to, you could find verses that say, you know, polygamy is good. Others that say celibacy is good. And then you could find verses to prove that both are better alternative than monogamy.
Yep.
I mean, you can prove and you can justify all kinds of things by picking and choosing from here or there. And I'll tell you what, when people in power start to do that, man, then we end up with a way to justify some of the most inhumane, some of the most brutal, repressive actions in human history, right? I mean, we can look back and throughout history and see that the same Bible that has served as like this symbol of freedom is the same one that was used to sanction inquisitions or, like you were talking about, Anna, validate racism. And I mean, even today, the Bible continues to be used to justify, keeping women subservient to men, or to inciting Islamophobia, or oppressing, the gay community, or abusing the environment, all done by people who are justifying it by quoting from the book we call the Good Book.
I recently saw someone on the internet justifying owning assault rifles using the Bible. Like,
sure.
Yeah, that's true. You can do that, technically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Technically. Yeah.
So I think there's two thoughts. One is I think we it's easy to think that the Bible has the problem, is the problem. But in reality, I think the problem is more how we have been, when we take the Bible and we try to turn it into a book it was never intended to be. Right. Mm-hmm. And there are certain expectations I think we've learned to place on the Bible that look really good on the surface, that actually look as though, you know, I'm taking the Bible seriously. But in reality, they're doing nothing more than covering up their fears of losing control and losing certainty, and ultimately covering up the fact that perhaps we really don't trust God the way we'd like to think we do, you know? So I think that's one thing. I think that'd make a great discussion point, you know, even maybe around our tables or whatever. What is the Bible the problem, or some of the ways we approach it maybe the bigger issue? But then I think there's another piece that I think would be a great sort of idea to carry with us over these next few weeks, and that's this, you know, the who that you bring to the Bible determines how you see it, how you understand it, how you use it. Mm-hmm. Right? How you approach it, the who you bring to it, which is why what you just said, Anna, hateful people can find hateful verses to confirm hatred. Loving people can find loving verses to call them and others to a greater life of love, right? Both kinds are in the Bible. And so I'm excited. This is going to be a great journey. You know, I think over these next few weeks, we're going to explore things like who wrote the Bible? Where'd it come from? Is the Bible human? Is it divine? Mm-hmm. Is the Bible literal? You know, what do you do with those really tough parts of the Bible, those parts where it appears, you know, you see this very angry and wrathful God that looks nothing like the unconditional love and the grace that we see in the life of Christ, right? The other thing, though, we want to encourage people to do is if you have questions, we'd love to hear those. What do you wrestle with when it comes to the Bible? What questions do you have? We'd love for you to send those to us. Probably the easiest way is email info@theorchardcommunity.com. We'd love each week to maybe take a couple of those questions and bring those into our conversation and bring those questions maybe even into the tables and into conversation with others. And then stay engaged, because I think each week we're going to sort of build on the last week. And listen, I feel like I'm talking way too much, but I'm gonna close out because I feel like we've hit some good things today and we're sort of laying the groundwork. I want to say this. I think there are some of you probably who are joining us that you would say I have a lot to learn, and I seek more freedom when it comes to the scriptures. I think there's some of us, there's some things we need to unlearn and be challenged. Yeah. And so I think there's going to be these moments where there will be tension as we talk about some of this stuff. Times where maybe you'll say, wait a minute, hold on. I don't know about that. I better look that up. Give me, you know, pause. Let me, you know, whatever. That's exactly what I hope happens in this series. And I'll tell you, there are some, I'm sure, moments where you may find your ideas, your beliefs, your ways of approaching the Bible are going to be challenged. And that can be uncomfortable. But here's the thing. Let me tell you, the beautiful thing is we get to walk this journey in community. And which honestly, that's what God's people have been doing with the Bible since it's been around, coming together as a community, asking questions, wrestling with the texts. Anyway, so I think we'll land the plane there. But is there anything that you guys want to add in? Are there any, I know we're going to post some resources, but is there anything you guys want to add in before we move on?
I'll just say
go ahead.
I'll just add this little like footnote in addition to what you're saying, Scott, and it goes with that, is that it seems like there's a gateway to a deeper understanding of these various books that make up this thing called the Bible that is held by other people and other stories. And so I think as we listen to each other, it's kind of like when you start to listen to another culture, say, if you take into account people who are oppressed in different places and you see their understanding of the Bible as opposed to most of us who grew up in very easy environment, they're going to have a really different perspective on all of these things than us. So the more we can diversify the voices in our ears and start to like really listen to each other and each other's stories, I think that's actually a key and a gateway to be able to understand and bring a lot more life and color, especially if you're a person who's kind of been like, screw the Bible. It's like, I don't get it. There's too much bad crap in there. This might be actually a place for you to come and kind of dive in and get kind of healed in that way.
That's so good. Yes. Amen to that.
Get in that liberation theology.
Yeah,
that's right.
I was going to say that if you are someone where you want clarity, I mentioned that about what the Bible clearly says. And then Scott, what you just said a minute ago, like we're going to get tension. We're going to get uncomfortable. I think it would be a wonderful challenge to try to get unclear. Like if there are things that seem really clear to you, really obvious, really black and white, that's the stuff that I'm hoping you question. Not that want you to like get down into like unclear murkiness and stay there forever, but I think it would be good for all of us if we allowed ourselves to not be sure, to not be clear, and go in and explore that. And then, you know, maybe by the end of the series, we'll have some clarity, some different kind of clarity, but not to be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of the murky places. Like get in there and grow for sure.
This is so good.
Get dirty.
Thank you. My hope and my prayer is that we will experience this ancient book. Maybe yours looks different. Where we read about love and sin and peace and adulteries and affairs and kings and deceits and faith. And it's filled with all these very ordinary, wonderful, sad events of human life. I think what my prayer is, we'll realize that it actually has a lot to say to us still today. So thank you for this great conversation. I look forward to where we're going to go in the weeks to come.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Do it.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.
Anna, Benjamin, thank you for the great conversation to get us started in this series. Hey, I would love for this conversation to continue, whether you are with one of our table gatherings or you're just alone. You got a piece of paper, you want a journal, take some notes, and just sit and reflect a little bit. But here's a couple of questions I would love to throw out to you, a couple conversation starters, I guess you could call these. The first one is this. I'd love for you to have some conversation or think about this. What has your personal experience been with the Bible? Would love for you to share that with someone else. And then another question is this: in what ways has the Bible challenged you? Or maybe another way of asking that is, what challenges have you had when it comes to engaging the Bible? Yeah, in what ways has the Bible challenged you, or what challenges have you run across as you've attempted to, or as you have engaged with the Bible? And then I have one more. What would you love to hear some conversation around when it comes to the Bible? Is there a specific topic or passage, story, book of the Bible that you would love to hear or have some conversation around? So great conversations to have. Would love for us to get started in the series thinking about these things. And I really, really hope, as I said earlier, I really hope that you will continue to join us each week, because every week in the series will build upon the last. So if you do miss one, I want to encourage you to catch up, okay? Well, friends, what an honor it has been to have you join us today. A couple things I want to make sure you have on your radar. First of all, if you're interested in learning more about our table gatherings, small micro gatherings that meet in homes, we would love for you to reach out to us. Or if you're interested in learning what it would look like to host one or to be a part of one, you can go to our website. You can click on the link in the chat window to find out more information. I also want to remind you that your support of the Orchard community is really vital. It's how we're able to do the work we do. And so if these gatherings have been meaningful to you, if your life has been impacted in a positive way, we'd love to ask you and encourage you to be a part of supporting this work. You can give very easily by going to our website, theorchardcommunity.com/give. And I want to say a really big thank you to those of you who are a part of supporting this work. My prayer is that as you're generous and as you give, as you contribute, that not only will God do something through you, but God will also do something in you. Now, I want to leave you with this benediction. Friends, this is a springtime blessing, okay? So may the God of growth nurture your soul as the sun nurtures the earth, bringing forth new life and hope. Guided by the gentle breeze of the Spirit, may you bloom and flourish in your faith. And so now, go forth in peace, carrying the vibrant colors of God's love as you paint the world with the beauty of compassion and understanding. Peace and love to you, friends. We'll see you again soon.